My name is Julia Battalese, and I hate country, but I do love me some good punk music. Those are two very different genres, and that's what Pass the Ox is all about. On this podcast, each episode features different people with different music tastes. They get to expose each other to a new genre and why they believe it's worth listening to. Because in this day and age, we need one fewer thing to be mad at each other about. This week on Pass the Ox, I'll be featuring country versus rock. Due to copyright reasons, check out the links to these songs in the description that we will be playing in this podcast so you too can jam out with us. Feel free to pause and click away or play the music under us as you go. When you hear this track from Audioblox, then you'll know to click the link below. Welcome to this week's episode of Pass the Ox. We are doing country versus rock today. We have Katie Otter representing rock.
Hello, hello.
And we have Monty Daniel representing country.
Hi.
You look like you should be representing emo, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you did country versus rock. I literally had a rock show last semester, Julia.
I had to do country versus rock. One of them is internationally loved, and the other one is either love or very much hate. So
yes.
I felt like it was a good combination of if you can somehow find something in country, like if you listen to rock and you can find something in country that you like, it'd be kind of like a cool perspective for people.
Yeah,
I like that.
All right, so we have country up first. If you want to give any preface, you can, Monty, or you can just play the song. It's up to you.
I mean, will I get the chance to talk after?
Yes.
Okay, then let's just play it.
Okay, what do we have?
It is Why by Rascal Flatts, released in 2009. Yeah, so that song is about suicide. It was really big. It came out in 2009. I was about 10 or 11 when it came out, and it was right at about the time that my best friend's dad had just taken his life. And to this day, we still don't know why he did. He didn't leave anything behind. So that song was it was the first song that I ever heard about suicide, and it kind of made me realize that other people had like gone through this too, and that I wasn't alone in my grieving, because nobody seemed to be talking about suicide, especially to just a kid. Nobody wants to talk to a kid about suicide. So Rascal Flatts, they made it so that somebody could talk to me about it, even if it wasn't somebody that I knew. I didn't have anybody to really talk to about it because it's difficult. And I listened to a lot of Rascal Flatts as a kid. I mean, I listened to Stand, which was like a really empowering song to me. And then they made another song called Skin about this girl who got cancer and doesn't think that she can go to the prom because she doesn't want to go to the prom bald. And then at the end, you find out like her prom date ends up like shaving his head so that can just go bald together. And that song introduced me to cancer, you know? And so like this band in general, they taught me a lot of things that people don't want to talk to kids about.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. You're coming in hot on this podcast.
Started with the saddest song. So.
No, I mean, that's a big takeaway, I feel like. If it comes in at a point in your life where you need some sort of guidance, or you have a feeling that the music that is playing also is saying what you're feeling, it's nice to feel like someone else is feeling that.
Just like you were saying, you can relate to something without having to know the person who's talking about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that song just helped me through that time in my life. So it just holds a really important place for me. There's like the lines at the end where he's like, okay, this old world really ain't that bad a place. And it's kind of like, okay, like even though this happened, it's going to be okay.
It's powerful.
Definitely.
Can you match it, Katie?
Not in that regard. Up next, we're switching gears a little bit here with some Led Zeppelin. My first song will be What Is and What Should Never Be, and we can listen to it, and I can come back and talk to you about it. Here it is. Hell yeah. That was What Is and What Should Never Be off of Led Zeppelin II, which is from 1969. When I was going through this and trying, I definitely wanted to pick a Led Zeppelin song, and I really couldn't choose. I don't know why I ended up choosing this one in the end. I think there's a few different reasons. This is one of the first songs recorded by Jimmy Page on his, like, iconic Les Paul. It was written by Robert Plant and Jimmy Page. I don't know if I already said that. Apparently, it's a song about an affair that Robert Plant had with his wife's younger sister, which is something I didn't really know until I was doing research for this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, they were crazy back then, those rock and rollers. One of my favorite parts about that song is actually towards the end with the panning of the guitars across the channels. And it's something that, like, bands weren't really doing in the 60s. I think Led Zeppelin was one of the first bands to utilize the panning in their mixing. It's cool listening to it, like, on some good speakers and listening to that pan. It's kind of like a trippy feeling. And we were saying when it was playing, it sounds kind of beachy.
Felt like I was in Bikini Bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Zeppelin has a lot of that, like, surfer rock influence thrown into their, like, bluesy influence too. Zeppelin's always been a band that I've loved, especially in my angsty teenage years. I would drive around and just blast Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin's always a good one to, like, drive to.
Yeah. Just blast the volume and let the guitars just
bring you home.
Bring you home. But I like the sound of it. And like I said, I didn't know it was about an affair with his wife's sister, which is kind of promiscuous, I guess.
you could say.
But yeah, that was my first one. I don't know why I chose that one to be first, but I did.
We both made choices.
We both made choices. We all make choices every day. I'm a really indecisive person. 4 or 5 songs, it's not very many. So I really had to narrow it down. Early Zeppelin, some good stuff, some early classic stuff. And obviously they go on to be one of the most successful rock and roll bands.
What do we have up next?
So you might notice I stuck with mostly like 2000s country songs throughout here. I do like older country music, but, you know, I grew up mostly in the 2000s. So up next is Whiskey Lullaby by Brad Paisley and Alison Krauss from 2003. So yeah, something that I've always really, really liked about country music is its ability to tell stories. I haven't found that in any other genre that can tell a story quite as well as country music does, or it has for me, at least throughout my life. So Whiskey Lullaby, you watch and hear this pair of lovers slowly drink themselves to death. It's the first song that I ever heard about alcoholism. There's not really a lot of songs I've found about alcoholism out there. And it hit really close to home for me because there are a few alcoholics within my family, like really close to me. And I didn't realize, I mean, I was only like 6 at the time that this came out. Of course, it took me a few years and then I like realized what the song is about. And it's the first time I really like realized that like alcohol can kill you. And just thinking about my family members that are alcoholics, you know, thinking about like this could be their fate. And I, you know, it was something really difficult for me to deal with. So it's kind of like the Rascal Flatts song in a way that it helped me get through that realization, kind of influenced me to not drink for a really long time just because there are those things that can happen. It sucks. And fun fact, not really fun fact, a fact, this song is number 3 on Rolling Stone's 40 Saddest Country Songs of All Time. So there you have it.
I can see how that could be.
Yeah.
I've never heard this song before right now, and I can definitely relate. I also have some alcoholics in my family, and it's actually messed up. When I was young, my grandma, we were at this family party. My grandma comes out with this pink fruity drink, and I'm like 10 years old, right? I go, Grandma, can I like smell your drink? Like, what is that? And she goes, Katie, you're an alcoholic. There's many alcoholics in this family, and it's just inevitable that you are one.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I'll tell that to people in my family and they kind of just write it off and laugh about it. I mean, what? Like, I was 10. I had never tried alcohol in my life at that point. I didn't even know what that really meant. It's definitely something that I've grown up very conscious of. And yeah, this was an incredibly sad song.
Did that song kind of like put anything in perspective? Doesn't have to, but
a little bit. I mean, I've had family members who stepped in for other family members. So I'm incredibly blessed that there were people there for my family. And that's not always the case with people. So it could definitely mess people's lives up and people around them and their family. And this song was an incredibly sad ballad. I can't like have any clear thoughts on this right now. It's just a lot. Yeah.
Thank you for your time. What's the next song?
We have another song coming up. It's it is sad, but not as sad. It is about a very sad event. This is Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. One of my favorite songs, not only because it was one of the first rock songs I was really introduced to as a kid, but also because of the historical context. And I'm just a huge history nerd. This version that we're going to listen to was released in 1974 about a shooting that went on at Kent State University's campus in May of 1970. And I can kind of get into the history and all that after the song plays. But this is Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Okay. We did it. I didn't do anything wrong.
You never do anything wrong. So, that was Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. That was on their studio album So Far that came out in 1974. However, it was written and composed by Neil Young and originally released as a single in 1971. It is a song about the National Guard shootings at the Kent State University campus that happened on May 4th, 1970. So basically, there was a protest going on about the Vietnam War. Nixon had just announced that there's going to be a Cambodian invasion of troops going into Cambodia to fight the Viet Cong. At this time, the war was becoming extremely unpopular, especially among kids our age. College campuses, as you may or may not know, were filled with protests all the time. Nixon thought that the National Guard was needed to control the situation down at Kent State. And what ended up happening was the National Guard opened fire, and they killed four students, two of which, I believe, one or two of which were not even protesting. They were just walking near the protest. A quote from Wikipedia, 28 guardsmen fired approximately 67 rounds over a period of 13 seconds, killing four students and wounding nine others, one of whom suffered permanent paralysis. So, I don't know. I picked this song because I remember the first times I heard it. I was maybe 8, and I was listening. I'm from Chicago, 93.1 WXRT, which is Chicago's finest rock, and a radio station that I still listen to this day and that I grew up with listening to, that, along with my dad and uncles, was a huge influencer for music in my life. I remember thinking, wow, that song is catchy. It sounds really good. What are they singing about? I asked my dad a few weeks later, and he pulled out the record and kind of told me a little bit about context of the song. And as I got older and started learning more about American history, and I came back to the song and, you know, discovered, wow, this is really messed up about how this happened and how could that even happen. Here in 2018, something like that happening is not a crazy thing. Things like this happen every day in America. And I think this was such a big shock because this was one of the first times anything like that has happened. To think nothing has really changed.
There's still just like nonsensical violence.
Yeah, it's insane. And when you listen to the song without listening closely to the lyrics, it's kind of like a fun sounding na 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 na.
It's kind of like Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People.
Yes, exactly. It sounds good and it sounds like upbeat. And when you really listen to it, you're like, oh my goodness, this is a really heavy subject. And Neil Young is one to be very outspoken about political happenings. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young were political, kind of, singing about this and how one of the first lines in the song is that they're calling out Nixon. Tin soldiers and Nixon's coming. They saw this problem and they saw a need to write and record a song about it. And they don't really need to bring it to light because it was such a big event that happened and everyone around the country knew about it. But by recording this song, they're making sure that people won't forget about it. It's something serious that happened.
Documenting it for future generations.
Yeah, exactly. And now being a 22-year-old, these kids were our age. I can't imagine that happening here. But things like that happen all over the country. Have you guys heard of that girl who graduated from Kent State last year? The machine gun girl?
Yes,
yeah.
I have.
I can't imagine being on that campus and walking around and seeing that. Seeing this privileged white girl walking around branding an assault rifle. I don't know if it's just me or if that's like totally insensitive to the history of that campus.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's, and this is hard because I just have a very opinionated stance on the Second Amendment. But when it comes to that, I just feel like in general, I don't see a reason to flaunt something like that that is capable of such destruction.
Right.
And has caused such pain. In America in general, it doesn't make sense to me why you would treat that like that. You
right,
know what
like
I mean?
Flaunt around this killing machine that if you want to have a concealed carry permit or and whatever, I don't see it. I don't need to see it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. Ugh. I have no connection to Kent State or Ohio really at all, but it just strikes a chord with me that this is like still so relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really see bands recording songs like this nowadays too much. It's a historical event that needs to be recognized and remembered, and thanks to this song, it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish more artists would do that. Like today, you know, documenting those events through music, because I think it's a really impactful way to document it, because future generations will listen to it. It's almost like a history lesson in a way, you know, like a better history lesson than just reading it out of a history book.
Right. It's like a relatable medium. If you can make it sound good, mm-hmm. people are going to listen to it.
And it can, and it'll stick with you.
It'll stick with you. Yeah. Like me being that 8-year-old kid in the car and listening to it and being like, oh, this sounds good. It did teach me something about an event that happened. And
you guys brought some powerful music today. And we're only halfway through.
We're going to keep going.
What do we have next, Monty?
My next one isn't quite as, it's not as sad as my last two songs, which, you know, is probably good. This song, it's kind of for my mom in a way. It's called I'm a Survivor by Reba McEntire from 2000. So I grew up listening to a lot of Reba McEntire. She was a really, really big part of my childhood. That song in particular was the theme song for her TV show called Reba. And my mom and I used to watch that show all the time as I was a kid. So that song's just kind of like ingrained in my brain permanently. But Reba, she was the most successful female recording artist in country music in the 80s and 90s. She scored 22 number one hits within that 20-year period. And then she transitioned a little bit to film and the stage and television. And then she created her show Reba, which was, you know, like about her family and stuff. And it was a comedy. She ended up being the greatest crossover star to emerge from country music since Dolly Parton. She went back to her roots a lot, and then she did pre-feminist movements in the 60s, and then Reba kind of took that under her wing in the 80s, and in her music she began to address a lot of emotional and empowering concerns of women, and she continues to do that today. And I just think she is such a remarkable woman, and in a lot of ways she reminds me of my mom, because I mean there is the line in there, and it's like a single mom who works two jobs who loves her kids and never stops, and like every time I hear that line I'm like, wow, like that's my mom. And like no wonder my mom listened to so much Reba, because like my mom basically is Reba, you know. Which sounds like insane, but Reba did like a ton. She did a cover of Beyonce's If I Were a Boy in 2010, and it was just like very impactful. And then she also in 2007, she did a duet with Kelly Clarkson. She did Because of You to address domestic abuse. I was gonna pick that song, but that was gonna be way too much for me to talk about. It just had a really big impact on me, because like it's stuff that I had witnessed throughout my life but didn't know how to put a name on any of it or anything. I just think Reba's amazing, and that song just brings back a lot of memories for me, sitting watching her show as a kid with my mom.
It's awesome. I'm not familiar with Reba at all, and I'm glad that you picked that song. It was really beautiful and nice to listen to. As far as how I can relate to this, I grew up with a single dad, which is a bit different, obviously, but that still kind of resonated with me. And I like that memory that you have of sitting watching Reba with your mom. My mom passed away when I was 7, and I have memories. This is going to sound weird now because of everything that's happened in the news recently, but I would sit up and watch The Cosby Show with my mom. You know, I can relate to that, and like, haven't really watched The Cosby Show since then.
Yeah, I haven't watched Reba in a good while.
And I don't have any plans to anymore, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like such a nice memory, and I think that's cool that, like I said earlier on, one of the cool things about music is that it could bring you back and like connect you to things, and that was nice. I like that.
Yeah, and even in this song, she even like mentions like sticking to your roots, you know, and I think it's so cool because like this song brings me back to my roots, and she even like mentions it in the song, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, like thanks, Reba.
Nice.
And then there's like another particular line in there, and she's like, I don't believe in self-pity. I think it only like brings you down. And that was also a really like good thing to hear as a kid, you know. It's like, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't, even now, you know, even hearing that, I'm like, yeah, I shouldn't do that so often. It really does affect you in a lot of bad ways. Mm. So
it's a good, kind of a good song with a good message to grow up on.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Have ingrained in you.
Yeah. Especially with like the, all the other, you know, events in my childhood and the other songs in my childhood, as you saw, the first two were really sad, but then like it was songs like this that also helped me along in a different way than the other two did. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us. That's cool. So up next, speaking of connecting to our childhood, I have a song by the Grateful Dead coming up next. I'm going to travel back to 1975 with When I Was a Kid. I'm just kidding. I was born in 96. Anyways, as I mentioned, I grew up with my dad, a single dad. He's a big Deadhead, and he got me into loving the Grateful Dead. Yeah, so the song I picked is like one of my favorite Dead songs. I don't think I have like a single favorite one, but this is one of my favorite ones just because of the message that it has, and it's a really fun one. I hope you guys like it. All right, so that was the song The Music Never Stopped by the Grateful Dead off of like one of their studio albums called Blues for Allah that came out in 1975. At this point, they had been a band for 10 years, and they had come out with a bunch of studio albums as well as live albums. That's one of their big things, is putting out live music as well. But this is one of my favorite Dead tunes and songs in general, because it's like all about just getting lost in the music and letting it take you away. And I think for me, that's what the Grateful Dead is, throwing them on and just let the music play you into another world and just kind of forget about stuff. One of my favorite lines is, "The sun went down in honey and the moon came up in wine. You know, the stars were spinning dizzy. Lord, the band kept us so busy, we forgot about the time." That kind of like encapsulates the whole vibe of the Dead for me. Just letting the band keep you busy by just losing yourself in the music and letting it play. Another reason why I love it too is because the instrumentation in it is very cool. It's one of their more jazzy, jammy songs. They don't really have a lot of songs with that kind of horn section in there. They're able to kind of add that jazzy element with sticking to their classic like jam band, funky vibe. If you know me, you know I love the Grateful Dead, and my dad and my uncles and my cousins are all huge Deadheads, and it's something cool that I can share with them and bond with them over. Like, I remember growing up and they'd always have the Dead on. Every family party, there'd be middle-aged men in tie-dye shirts, and the Grateful Dead would be playing, and different variations of the same song would come on like three times. And I remember being little, not getting it at all. But I remember like thinking, I hope I like this band one day. Like, I hope I can get into it, because it's all I freaking hear. And I don't know, I think by the time I was like 12 or 13, I was like, oh, I get it now. I probably should have started with the Dead song, but they mean so much to me. I listen to them like all the time, and it's something, like I said, I can bond with my family over. I've seen Dead and Company, which is like the offshoot of the Grateful Dead. For the past like three summers, I've seen them with like my dad and uncle and like friends who are also into the Dead and their dad. So it's fun to kind of be able to experience a concert with like your best friend, your dad, and her family.
Yeah, I haven't listened to a lot of the Grateful Dead. I mean, I've heard some songs, obviously, but not like, I really like this one. This is one I would definitely listen to again. And like, I really liked the, you know, all the little jazzy and like kind of bluesy. That was really, really cool. And it was kind of funky sounding, you know, feel good.
Yeah.
Kind of song.
Definitely like a feel good kind of jammy song. And that female voice that you heard was that of Donna Jean Godchow. It's kind of a mouthful of a name.
Yeah.
But Donna Jean. And she was in the band with her husband. They were both in the band in the 70s for a short time. And I think that is one of the best, like, people will argue this, but I think this is one of the best eras of the Dead, because I think her voice, in contrast with Jerry Garcia's, is so beautiful. And the song wouldn't have been able to work without that female vocalist in there. Yeah, the combination of like the jazzy, bluesy feel with like her vocals.
Yeah, that was a really like, that was a beautiful song. Just like a beautifully written and composed song.
Definitely. Yeah.
Should we move on?
Yeah, we should do.
Okay.
We should do.
We should do. Yeah, so up next is One Day You Will by Lady Antebellum. This was off their first album in 2008. So let's listen to it. That was Lady Antebellum with One Day You Will. That was off their first album, which I remember buying as a kid. I was like 9 or 10 when it came out. I mean, I bought their first three albums and like listened to them nonstop. I was a little obsessed. Been trying to convince Julia that country music is just farm emo. there's a line in this song and it's like, you want to scream, but you're down to your last breath. And I'm like, if that's not the friggin' like one of the most emo things I've ever heard, I don't know what is. I remember posting them on my Facebook, like those lyrics on my Facebook, like when I first got Facebook, and like everyone was like, oh my God, you okay? And I'm like, yes, like emo, farm emo.
Is that what you replied to them?
No, I should have.
You should revisit that post.
Clap, 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 farm emo.
You should revisit that post right now and just comment, farm emo.
Farm emo.
Back at it again.
But Lady Antebellum, especially this song, I mean, it's kind of like, I didn't know it yet, but this song and this whole album and just this artist in general, like, came into my life when I first started to feel depression, even though I didn't quite know, like, I had no clue, you know, being like a 9 or 10 year old, I wasn't like, oh yes, this is depression. Like, I mean, knowing that now and looking back at it, I'm like, oh yeah, this definitely helped me get through some of those depressive phases as a kid. This song particularly, because it's saying, I know that you feel this way right now and you're really uncertain and you don't know what you're gonna be doing or who you are or anything, but one day you're gonna know. You're gonna get through these rough times and don't worry, basically, is what they're trying to tell me. That was really refreshing as a kid to be able to hear that, even if nobody around me was telling me that, because nobody else knew I was feeling that. It's difficult to talk about those things as a kid. Finding their music was really important to me because it was a friend or like somebody telling me, it's okay that you feel this way. You're gonna get through it and you know, everything is gonna work out and brighter days are ahead. So that was kind of acted like therapy in a way to me.
I was gonna say that actually. That's kind of what music is to a lot of people, is that like if you have a problem and you don't know how to talk about it, and I think a lot of it does end up coming down to mental health with people because it's just been coming such a constant problem. Just knowing that instead of having to build up the effort to be able to explain how you're feeling to someone else, you can just sit down and listen to someone else explain how they're feeling. And then when you can see that connection, it's like, oh man, someone gets it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I keep coming back to the powers of music, and that's definitely a big one, is the relatability that it could bring. Mm-hmm. Songs like this probably aren't meant to be relatable to every single person.
Yeah.
But for you, the fact that it is that relatable for you and it's helped you, like, that's awesome. And I feel like a lot of artists are like, if we can just like help or reach one person.
Yeah. And especially because, I mean, this was their first album, so they weren't going to get a very wide reach. I mean, not a ton of people listened to this album or this song. I mean, this song wasn't really played on the radio or anything. I just discovered this by buying the album and listening to it a million times, you know? So it probably only reached not a lot of people, but it reached me and it really meant a lot to me as a kid just to know that they believed in me in a way. They had no clue who I am, you know? Like, there's no way.
Like, they go to bed every night and they go, Monty Daniel.
Yep, I'm sure Lady Antebellum.
That song was for you.
Totally. Like, yep, that one was for you, kid. But like, it was just really refreshing to hear that and just to have someone, older figure, telling me these things that I wasn't hearing before, because I didn't have to talk to them to get this out of them. They just told me. They were like, okay, here it is.
Like I was saying earlier before we were recording, country is a genre I've never really explored on my own. Like, this is probably the most exposure I've ever gotten to country, just sitting here with you. But I had no idea how emotional and it could get. Yeah. Farm emo.
Yeah.
I get it now.
I get a lot. Like, even today, I mentioned at work, I was like, yeah, I listen to country music. And they were like, oh. And I'm like, no, I swear, it's a good genre. Can't just classify it by the songs that are like, I'm in my truck drinking beer, or I'm driving this tractor. Like, no, it's not all that. Like, if you notice, none of the songs I mentioned have anything to do with tractors.
No.
Or
not,
like,
not a one.
Not one.
I'm happy about that.
Me too.
And yes, I think a lot of people are turned away by country music because it has some religious ties. It does have, like, Christianity is really big in the country community. But it's also because if you think about the people that listen to country music, typically they're people in smaller, more rural places. We don't have anything to do out in the country. Like, what are we going to do? Okay, religion. Like, it's just kind of, I don't know. That was my experience growing up in a tiny town, was there wasn't much to do. And your two options are get into trouble or be religious.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a sense of community. It really is. Religion is... I can definitely see that. I'm not from a small town, but I can see how it can be very prevalent in a small town. And
yeah. And just, I mean, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, no.
And I mean, like, growing up now, and I live in a bigger community now, and I've kind of dropped Christianity from my agenda now. And I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, I'm not Christian anymore because I don't really have a need for it anymore. And that's most of the part why I'm not a Christian anymore, is because I moved away from that and I didn't feel the need for it. But living in that small community, it was something that did bind us all together. You know, going to church every Sunday, getting to like just see people. I mean, it was less about the religion and more about being able to connect with other people, because it's really difficult. A lot of people feel alone, and depression and all of these other mental health issues are really big in those small communities because there's nobody to talk to about them. I mean, there's nobody close by. Your neighbors might be miles and miles away. So it's difficult, and there's not healthcare right there. You know, like, it might be like a 30 or 40 minute drive into town. And even then, you might have to drive even farther to access that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we all know about the stigma around mental health, but mm-hmm. in a small town, I can't imagine if it probably is
amplified.
Most of them
don't even get diagnosed.
I mean,
it's unfortunate, but I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, I saw that constantly in my community growing up, people who were feeling these things and it never got diagnosed. And then it ends up like something like the song Whiskey Lullaby, where they don't know what to do. So they drink themselves to death. Or like the first song, Why? They end up just killing themselves. And it's tough, but it happens a lot in small communities because we don't have the access to help ourselves. Mm-hmm. So, and I was really glad that I grew up with music to kind of help me in a way, because I couldn't really have access to therapy as a kid a lot, and it was something difficult to talk about. So yeah, all this music, you know, it helped me. And like, when people are like, I hate country music, I'm like, no, please understand how much it means to so many people for these reasons, mm-hmm. because they talk about things that a lot of genres don't talk about. It's just insane to me that people hate this genre so much, and I get it, but at the same time, I don't.
Yeah, I feel like people just need to be more open-minded and
don't just look listen
past
to the typical
the,
stuff.
Yeah, the pop country that's played on the country radio station, as I don't know. And like, I don't know, have you guys ever heard of Country Thunder?
I don't think
it's
so.
It's in Wisconsin, and I think there's also one in like Arizona, but basically it's just like a four-day country music fest. And part of my exposure, I had never been, but like part of my exposure, okay, yeah, we were in high school. There'd be a bunch of these kids that go up there and they just were in their overalls and drinking Bud Light and just getting rowdy at like a, I don't know, who's like a pop country person.
I mean, there's like Tim McGraw.
Yeah, like Tim McGraw, like people like that. And it's just people use it as an excuse to just go up there and get sloshed and drink beer in the mud and
I
stuff
mean,
like that.
And in a
and
way,
so,
it
like,
takes you away from reality. It's the same way as other festivals. I mean, you look at like Coachella or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I've been going to Lollapalooza since I was 15. So my view of country music throughout high school was just like, oh, wow, like people are just going up there. They wouldn't even go to the festival. Mm-hmm. They would just go up there, drink beer in the parking lot and all that stuff. So I was like, something like had turned me off from it. I kind of connected those people's actions with the genre, mm-hmm. you know, which like isn't right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, I feel like a lot of people are kind of, they pigeonhole country music.
Yeah.
Which it obviously, you know, it shouldn't be. Yeah. I think people just need to be more open-minded about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, realize it's a wide and genre that has a lot of different contributions and artists, and it's not all of that.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah. I mean, it is a little difficult because most of the people that listen to country music, they don't look like me, or at least the people that look like me, they don't talk about listening to country music. The only people that really talk about listening to country music a lot are the people that drive trucks that are way too big and wearing cowboy boots every day. And those are the people who they listen to country music, whatever. But then like, you don't even think about, there's so many other people that do that just don't talk about it because of the stigma it gives off from those other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has been difficult moving here to Fort Collins from Durango, where country music was accepted there. Like, it was widely accepted. Like, everybody listened to it. And then I came here And I can't even mention that I listened to it because I will get so much flack for it, really. Just like, wow. And I have, it's almost like coming out in a way.
God.
It's like, what if you were like, I listened to hip hop and rap and I was like, gross. And I'm like, No, like, I'm not just gonna completely like diss on a complete genre because of a few songs.
People should be like, oh, really? Who?
Yeah.
You know, like ask.
But
you
nobody's more interested. About it. Nobody asks. They're just kind of like, okay. And it's unfortunate, but
it is.
We should probably wrap up this discussion.
Well, yeah.
While it was very interesting.
All right. So we're going to get going, I guess, here with a song that means a lot to me in the happiest way possible, which is the song Melissa by the Allman Brothers off of their iconic Eat a Peach album. That was the song Melissa by the Allman Brothers from 1972 off of their iconic album Eat a Peach. If you know the Allman Brothers, you definitely know that album. And if you don't know the Allman Brothers, you probably have seen that album cover before. So right off the bat, why this song means so much to me is because my cousin Melissa was named after it. And I don't actually know if anybody in my family realizes that I appreciate this song so much. But so anyway, my cousin Melissa is 9 years older than me, and I'm an only child. So I grew up like super close with some of my cousins. And Melissa has been a big sister to me my whole life, and we're super close. And she's been a big influence in my life and a big role model, someone that I've always have looked up to. And she's kind of taken me under her wing as her little sister. She doesn't have any younger siblings. My aunt and uncle, her parents, Paul and Nancy, I'm super close with them too. My uncle Paul and my dad are brothers, and they grew up inseparable. Only a year apart in school, went to high school and college together, so they had a bunch of the same friends. And Paul and Nancy met in college, and them and my dad all became good friends. My mom was actually married previously before she met my dad. And when she got divorced, she was friends with Paul and Nancy, and Paul and Nancy introduced my parents together. Resulting in me. So I kind of like attribute my existence to them in a way, because if they never thought to introduce my parents, like, I wouldn't be here. And I'm just super close with them. Like, my Uncle Paul's also been a huge influencer in my music taste. Thank you. So I think that's why this song means so much to me, because I know it means so much to them, and they ended up naming their child after it. Aside from my personal connection to it, I think it's just like a beautiful song. Like, the guitars with the vocals just go together so well. I don't know too much about the history of it other than Greg Allman wrote it. And it's just kind of like a touching song. It's soft and light. It kind of makes me feel like I'm floating a little bit. It's like a really nice, easy going song about, I don't really know what it's about ultimately.
Melissa.
About Melissa, about how he can't go on without Melissa. Like I said, I don't think my family realizes that I appreciate their own little like reasons why they love this song. Mm-hmm. I kind of just kind of like piggybacked on it. I think it's just really a comforting song.
Yeah, it was definitely very calming.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely something I could just like sit and do homework to, or just like sit and listen to, just enjoy as a song.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. Very nice and calming. If I ever need to calm down, this is a song that I'll put on to kind of help relax me. And I just feel like it's such a beautiful combination of the guitars with the vocals, and it's just mixed really well. And
Yeah, it was beautiful.
I agree.
Do you think through this podcast we've changed anyone's mind?
Like other people or ourselves?
Either.
I mean, I didn't really need my mind changed on rock music. Yeah. I hosted an entire show about rock music for a semester, so obviously I liked it, but it did open my eyes to a little bit of older rock music that, you know, was outside of my radar. So I thought that was really cool, and just hearing like Katie's history behind all of it and just how much it can impact someone growing up. I mean, it's the same thing with me with country music, and I have to stop and think, oh yeah, like other genres also affect other people in sometimes the same way as it affected me. So it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, and I think I kind of touched on that already for myself, but I never really gave country the chance that it deserved to be given from me. And yeah, I think sitting down with Monty and listening to four songs that really mean a lot to her opened my eyes a lot to the whole genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for coming on and talking about your music. Thank you to Katie Otter and Monty Daniel.
Thank you to Julia Battelis for having us on. It was an honor to be on your podcast. This is my first time as a guest on a podcast, and yeah, it's probably very evident.
Yeah, I think it's also, it might be my first.
I'm glad I could be your first. I'm sorry, that was a bad joke. I might have to cut that out later. Okay.
You might want.
Okay, bye. This has been an episode of Pass the Ox. Special thanks to Danny Steiner for providing original music for the intro and outro for Pass the Ox. And special thanks to my guests this week, Katie Otter and Monty Daniel. I'm Julia Battalese. Make sure to check out other episodes of Pass the Ox on KCSUFM.com.